Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll see how our Minnesota military families can get help in times of financial emergency, and we'll learn about the VA healthcare system's community-based outpatient clinics. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
One of our biggest challenges, after more than a decade of multiple deployments and economic hardships, has been helping our service members move forward and grow in spite of the adversity they face. Every person is different in the way they react to stress, but resilience is a skill that can be taught. Giving resilience training to our military members and their families provides them with a set of tools to use when dealing with problems in their everyday lives. The Minnesota National Guard has trained master resilience trainers and resilience training assistants throughout our units to teach these important skills to our force. Resilience training focuses on improved problem solving and communication skills, strengthening relationships, and focusing on the positives rather than the negatives in everyday situations. The program addresses five dimensions of soldier fitness: physical, emotional, social, family, and spiritual. Better training is just one of the ways we hope to impact the mental health of our service members. We are also working to change perceptions in our organization so that service members feel comfortable coming forward with their problems without the fear of a stigma or reprisal. Help is out there for our service members and their families. So many programs and organizations exist to help veterans who are struggling. I encourage everyone to reach out and take advantage of these services. Resilient service members make better, stronger leaders for our force.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers is Vern Truax. Vern, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Vern, I've known you for quite a few years, but it's the first time we got you over to the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Not a problem. It's good to be here.
Can you share with us, tell me a little bit about your military career?
I started out in the Navy, and then I left the Navy and ended up in the National Guard and worked full-time for the Minnesota National Guard and retired with 24 years of active duty. After that, I kind of went to Homeland Security for a while, and my ex-wife was deploying, and so the Command Sergeant Major said that they were starting up family assistance centers, and he thought I could probably do a pretty good job for him there and asked me if I'd come and do that. And I told him, well, 2 years, I'll do that.
How many years ago was that, Vern?
10.
Sergeant Major roped you in, didn't he?
He got me.
I assume you were on the Army side with the Guard?
I was on the Army side with the Guard then.
All right. Yeah, went from the Navy and reformed and went to the Army. Of course, I was Air Force, so they've never gotten me to reform. Family assistance centers, you were there at the beginning. What was the purpose? What was the mission when you first started 10 years ago?
Well, our purpose was similar to what it had been during the Vietnam era, where military people and their families had one place where they could go, make that call or stop in, and try to get help. And those folks that were in those offices, our tasker was to become familiar with what was available to help these people. And in the beginning, we had very little to work with, and it was, again, one of the things that we would do would be they'd come in and say they had a water heater out. Well, we'd have to wait for a VFW or a Legion meeting, because that was the only way you could get funds out of the gambling fund, was to go and present the problem at their meeting. And so that water heater could be out for a month while we waited to go and present and see if they would donate us some money to get a water heater for them.
So 10 years ago, your assignment was to work with Minnesota military families, all branches of the service, I assume.
All branches.
And if they had some kind of an issue, some kind of a problem, they were supposed to come to you. And once they did, when you first started, you had to then go figure out, how am I going to solve this and where am I going to get the money?
Or exactly.
That sounds like quite an uphill task back then, Vern.
It was pretty tough. It was pretty tough and time-consuming for... You know, they could be without a hot water heater for, like you said, almost a month boy, we waited for another meeting to go see if we could come up with some other way.
I know over those 10 years, you've accumulated and put together a lot of resources, and that must have, you must have just added those one at a time. I know you've got, like, the First Cavalry Association. We've had them on the show. They can make contributions every month, don't they?
Every month we get gift cards in the mail, so that when a family has a problem, and it's not just our military families, but our military families are what we work with and see. Until there's a bonfire of a problem, they really don't come and let us know. So the first thing they'll come in and say, well, I don't have food, I don't have gas, I don't have groceries, I don't have diapers. So the First Cav providing us with gift cards like that, we're able to say, okay, well, here's a gift card to Walmart, go get diapers, go get formula, go get, and with their gift cards, we can get groceries for them. You know,
and as I recall, they give you about $1,500 worth of these cards every month.
Pretty close to that, yes.
How many years have they been doing that for?
I would be guessing, but I think it's about 7 years now.
So the first few years you didn't have that, but you've had it ever since, and that helps them make it through a few days to payday and plug some temporary holes until they get their check and those kind of things.
Or we can come and visit you folks with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation or one of the other programs to get them some more permanent help.
Well, we'll get to that one a little bit later. I want to talk today. We're speaking with Vern Truax from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. Vern, I want to talk about all the other resources that you have. I know you have some financial counseling available. Those families come to you for a whole list of things besides just the family emergencies that we'll get to in the next segment. Can you tell me about some of those resources you've developed over the years?
Well, we have personal financial planners right on staff. So a lot of times they'll come in and say the money doesn't work. So we'll say, well, we're going to help you, but a condition of that is you're going to sit down and meet with a personal financial planner and come up and tell us that you've got a livable budget, or we can get you somewhere close to a livable budget. We have military family life consultants who are there for the families that are counselors. They're master degree or above in counseling, and so the families are able to use those folks to get counseling and help or get referred to through the TRICARE system to the other help that's out there.
What other type of issues do the families have that you help with?
Financial, we see a lot. We see a lot of the counseling stuff. There tends to be some substance issues, and we can, you know, one of the things is to get them help to go through the process of if it's a 30-day inpatient program, then how do they pay for their normal bills during that 30 days that they're going to be off work?
So if we've got a returning service member that needs to go into the VA for some type of a care or some type of treatment for 30 days, then they've got the issue of how do I pay the rent, how do I pay the car payment, how do I pay those things, and they reach out through their family readiness center and they get to you that way?
Yes. Or the VA folks now, we've been working together, they're not afraid to give us a call now too and say, I have this person, but he's going to refuse care if we don't find a way to help him with the bills.
So what are all the ways they get to you? Do the county veteran service officers refer some people to you?
Through the county vet service officers, the VA doctors themselves now, we get them through the Yellow Ribbon Communities folks. I know somebody who knows somebody. The word of mouth works very well.
They know that you go to conferences. You've been to the DAV conferences, the County Veteran Service Officer conferences. You've been networking with all those other agencies so that they know what resources you have available and how you can help the families.
Absolutely.
So we've kind of come a long way in 10 years, Vern.
We've come a long way.
Well, we've got about a minute left before we go to break. Now, let's go back to I know you because I'm on the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you submit your grant request to us quite often. But under what circumstances do you pull that resource, the MMFF, out and say, okay, we need to use them?
The key word is emergency financial. We don't have Santa Claus working in our office, but if it's emergency financial, they can call us. We've developed an application process that's pretty streamlined, it's a two-page deal. They fill it out. From there, they attach 3 months of bank statements so we can get a look. And if there's a spending problem, not an income problem, we're going to get them to the financial counselors as a condition. And we're going to write that grant request based on what they've told us and what we've reviewed and talked to them about. And we're going to send it up to you folks and make sure that it's not just a Band-Aid. We're looking for a fix.
So if they're bleeding, and it's bleeding every month because they don't manage their money properly or for whatever reasons, you want to make sure that when you put in the grant request that it stops the bleeding and that they're going to be okay going forward. So they don't have to be just come back again and again and again and say this just isn't working.
Absolutely. That's the goal. That's the task each and every time is to, when we're done with that particular time, that the bleeding has stopped and they have a plan to go forward to get healthy in a financial situation.
Vern, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the process of applying for a grant. We're speaking with Vern Truex from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting today with Vern Truex from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers. And Vern, for those folks that just tuned in, tell me once again, what are the facts to the Family Assistance Centers in Minnesota?
We're a resource and referral. Basically, any service member or family member or even veteran can call our offices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because when we're not in there, it's going to be one of us is on phone duty all the time.
So if they've got a problem, need some help,
call.
Call. And we'll have a link to the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers and the phone numbers on our Facebook page that Sergeant Angelo will put up and have available for you. Now, what type of issues are you seeing with our military families?
A lot of it is employment, financial, housing, and counseling is becoming, and recovery issues that go along with that. Whether it's substance abuse related, abusive relationships, we're seeing a lot of those kinds of things, and we have a counseling team that we can get them to. We work to get them into a safe situation first, and then deal with the other issues later.
Our military families are proud families, and there's a small percentage of them that have issues. But when they have issues and they need some help, they call the Family Assistance Centers. And you've got access to financial counselors. You've got access. You can help them get to the VA hospital if they need some kind of treatment. You can show them where to go and connect the dots, if you will, and get them to the appropriate resource.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what all of our offices do.
Great. Now, you've got how many offices now? How many folks do you have?
We have 10.
10 scattered around the state?
Yep. All over the state. We got Detroit Lakes. We have Bemidji. We have Duluth. Camp Ripley, Brooklyn Park, Rosemount, Mankato, Marshall, and then Fort Snelling is well covered also.
You passed the quiz. You remember them all. Vern, they're pretty good, pretty good. And he's not looking at any papers, folks. Now, Vern, I just want to walk through the process. A military family has some kind of an issue. They get on the phone. They call the Family Assistance Centers. I've got a financial problem. What happens next?
The first thing we're going to do is say, do you have food? Do you have groceries? You know, do you have diapers? Those kinds of things. And if the answer is no, one of us is going to run out or get them gift cards to get that resolved first. The next thing we're going to do is we have a grant request form that's been, you know, developed over the 10 years that we've been using it, or long the time we've been using it. And it's pretty simple, pretty quick. They'll fill it out. We'll sit down and we'll go it. And we want bank statements to go with it that just verify what they're telling us, that, you know, if they tell us that their rent is this much and we're seeing in the bank statement that rent is this much, we verify that. We verify that.
So you actually go visit with the families?
Most of the time.
And verify whatever the issue is, broken hot water heater, furnace out, car broken down, whatever it is.
Yep, we're going to go take a look, and we're usually going to get some estimates. If it's a broken car or something like that, we're going to get some estimates and make sure that we're getting the best price that we possibly can, and that's where the Yellow Ribbon folks come in, where we can call that community leader and say, we've got a broke car in your city.
What kind of resources do you have available?
Yep.
And
yep.
Who might help us do it at the least cost?
Who can recommend? Who do you recommend we go to? And we'll use those folks for that. Then the estimate would come in, and we would say, okay, the bank statements say that you don't have any money. Your savings account says you got 50 cents in there. And just your normal bills are eating up your income. So we're going to recommend you see a personal financial counselor and that they see what they can do to help you you know, massage that budget a little bit to maybe give you some breathing room. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and we're going to see about this grant, and we're going to submit it up to the board.
Of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Absolutely.
So you write that up and write up the request and send that electronically.
It all goes out electronically, and usually it's hours, maybe a day, to get a response. And then when I get the response back that says that that grant request had been approved, I can call that vendor. I can call that car repair place and say, this is Vern Truax. I work with Minnesota, and I have a grant approved in the amount of your estimate to pay for that car repair. Now, where do you want the check sent? And we're going to send it right to that car repair place at the address they tell us, and they can go ahead and start the repair on that car, knowing that we're guaranteeing now, because I have the approval, that we're going to pay that amount.
And the Family Foundation will make the check right out to the vendor and pay them directly.
Right to the car repair place, and that car repair place is going to get that check.
So you're really doing kind of three things. You're meeting with the families to determine that there's an actual financial emergency and that they can't afford it. And then second, you help them get their bids and estimates and find maybe a vendor that might put the labor in for free, but you still got to pay for the parts. And then you submit the grant request to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. They pay it directly to the vendor. You've solved the problem, but in the process, if they needed financial counseling to make sure that they aren't digging another hole going forward, you help them balance their budget and understand what they need to do to be in good shape going forward.
Absolutely.
You must have a good day every day, Vern.
Every day is a great day. It's why I had originally signed up and said I would do this for 2 years, and I just went over the 10-year mark. So I can tell everybody I have the best job in the world.
We're speaking with Vern Truax from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. Vern, let's get back to the Yellow Ribbon networks and the Yellow Ribbon communities around the state. They've come a long way in the last, I don't know how many years, 5 years or so. Now there's, as I understand it, well over 200 networks, 200 communities and businesses and people all over the state. And they're doing some great things in terms of shoveling snow and mowing lawns and helping people with issues. But you must be coordinating with them as well to make sure that they're aware that the Family Assistance Centers are here and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation are here to take care of these type of problems so that we don't duplicate the efforts?
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing out there right now is making sure that everybody's aware of whose lane is what. And with the cities, obviously with only 10 offices, we're not in the 200 communities or businesses or education facilities are like that. So if I have a problem in you know, Jackson, Minnesota, I'm not in Jackson. Our closest office is Marshall. So our guy in Marshall is probably going to call Jackson and say, you know, what do you got available for a carpenter? We have a water damage. We need to get some drywall out in whatever, those types of things because of the situation, and obviously we got water issues coming up all over the state right now.
We do. And so you coordinate your efforts with the Net Kuiper and the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks and help each other to solve these problems. And I know that Annette had a series last winter of meetings around the state where she brought in these networks from all the various towns. And I think you or Mike attended those things to let them know what's available and what you're doing.
Absolutely. So that they were aware of what was available and what is available. Because, again, and the Yellow Ribbons are where our focus is pretty much current service members and their families, where the Yellow Ribbon communities take care of a lot of the veteran population also.
Vern, last question. A lot of folks, I'm on the board of the MMFF, and a lot of folks have asked us the question that since the deployments have been going down a bit the last couple of years as opposed to the big deployments that we've had in the past decade, are we needed yet? But in reality, the number of grants that we're handing out each year or giving out each year has been increasing, and the amount of money that you've been spending has been increasing. What do you see for the future?
I think that's going to continue because when they come back, the problems aren't tomorrow. The problems aren't the next day. We're seeing the problems are a year out, 2 years out, and that's when they start having the problems where they have the employment issues. They have the employment issues lead to financial issues. And again, we we joke in our office that we're a growth industry.
You're putting a lot of pressure on us for, and the problems seem to be more and more complicated too, don't they?
They seem to be more complicated. And finally, we've kind of broken that nutshell of the other branches, because we've always supported all the branches of the military. And now they're starting, and we're starting to see more of those.
Vern, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minnesota's Family Assistance Centers?
My thing is just is thank everybody in the state for all the support that we get.
Have you got another decade in you, Vern?
I think so.
Yeah, better take care of those families. We're counting on you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Vern Truex from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers. In a moment, we'll learn about the VA's healthcare system's community-based outpatient clinics. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the VA healthcare system's community-based outpatient clinics. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
Happy birthday to the GI Bill. On June 22, 1944, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, known informally as the GI Bill. This landmark legislation transformed the lives of millions of our veterans who helped shape the future of our country. The men and women who came home from World War II, commonly referred to as GIs, went on to college and universities, built businesses, and became known as the greatest nation. Today, there are several GI bills to choose from. Knowing which one you qualify for and how to apply can help you make sure you get the benefits you need to reach your educational goals. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about rural health and the VA's community-based outpatient clinics is Dr. Clyde Marcon and Administrative Support Dominique Burling. Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
And Dominique, thanks for coming over today. And we're going to talk a little bit about community-based outpatient clinics.
Thanks for having me.
Before we start that, Doctor, I understand you had a career in the military.
I did. I actually was a volunteer to go to Vietnam and was not selected because of some health problems. So after completing medical school, the Army thought they just might take me, and they did. And so I spent about 20 years, a little more than that, in the Army Reserve, first of all with the Medical Corps in the 5501st Army Hospital here. And then I switched for the end of my career over to Civil Affairs and was attached to Civil Affairs in Arden Hills, Minnesota.
So it's funny how the Army changes its mind when you all of a sudden are a doctor.
They change their minds sometimes pretty readily anyway.
And, Doctor, I understand you grew up in just south of Superior, Wisconsin?
I did. I grew up in rural Douglas County, not far from Patterson State Park.
And you've still got some ties up that way and still some patients, I understand.
I do. My mother lives up there in the old homestead, and I still see patients every other week, Friday and Monday, at Twin Ports Outpatient Clinic.
And, Doctor, you brought along some of your administrative support today. What does Dominique do to help with the community-based outpatient clinics?
Well, just about everything that has to do with anything is Dominique's role. She was a very great addition to our clinics. She helps with all the administrative functions. She helps with my calendar. And pretty much is the person who makes things sure things get done when they're supposed to get done.
So, Dominique, you keep the trains running on time?
I think so.
And you take care of the doctor and the rest of everybody else so that we get enough work done each week, right?
Absolutely.
Well, it's a good thing you're over there because everybody's got somebody that's helping keeping them on time, right, Doctor?
That's right.
Now, how did you get to the VA from the military?
Well, I had been chosen to go to Afghanistan pretty early in the OEF effort. And when I got back, I still had some reserve responsibilities, and it was a little difficult for employers to hire even a physician if they knew I could be called up again and be gone for as long as a year. And so the VA had a position open in Twin Ports. It was very fortunate for me that I could return back there, and I took the job there about 10 years ago in July.
And that was caring for veterans and patients?
Yes. I had most of my job was caring for veterans. I had some administrative responsibilities as well as the lead physician there.
And then, Doctor, how long ago did you get involved with the CBOX, the community-based outpatient clinic?
A little over 2 years ago. I decided that the position had been open for a while, and I thought it might be good to come down to Minneapolis. I have children and grandchildren here, so it was a good opportunity for me to be close to them as well.
So, sir, was that volunteered or voluntold? Little of each. Even the VA still runs like the military, doesn't it, Doctor?
Yes, they do.
Now, I think most of our listeners know that we've got the VA Medical Center out at the airport, and we've got another hospital up in St. Cloud. How many of these outpatient clinics do we have around the state?
Well, in the Minneapolis system alone, we have 13 community-based outpatient clinics, which we call CBOX, and there are two or three within the St. Cloud system as well. We are in a different VISN, a different region.
Now, these St. Cloud. These community-based clinics have limited services?
They do. They range quite the range of services. Ely is a somewhat new clinic that has one physician several days a week. Twin Ports is a larger CBOC. They offer audiology, they offer eye care, they offer mental health. We have a full lab there. We have about 9 providers. And so in the smaller clinics, as you might expect, it's similar to a small town clinic. And in our larger clinics, such as Twin Ports and Northwest Metro, we offer more services.
So, sir, you've opened two new ones recently, one in Albert Lea, I think, and
yes.
One in Shakopee.
Yep. Shakopee was just on Monday.
So you were intimately involved in getting those up and open?
Yeah, that's a nice way to say that our CBOC team spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and working on those clinics.
Dominique, does that mean you were really busy helping getting those open?
I was helping out along with other team members who dealt more specifically with the contracts. So, yes.
Well, that's got to be a big job getting those clinics open.
Absolutely. There's a lot of planning involved.
But once they're open, how do the veterans decide that they want to go there and for what services?
You know, I think that's pretty simple. One way of doing that is just to go to the CBOC and say, I'd like to get my care here, and we'll get them enrolled. They can also go to their county veteran service officers who really play a big role in helping veterans navigate through the system, and the CVSOs, county veteran service officers, can help them get into the system, and they also are very helpful if there's problems with navigating through the system.
So then, Doctor, for those folks living down in southern Minnesota, they can go to Albert Lea. It's closer to home, get some primary care. If they've got something serious, then that clinic would schedule something up in Minneapolis, and then they come up for surgeries or whatever they need.
Exactly, yes.
So we've heard from the county veteran service officers around the state, we had a lot of them on, that having those clinics out there is very valuable, and that some of our older veterans have a little problem traveling from, say, way up north down to Minneapolis or to St. Cloud. Are there plans to expand the system, Doctor?
Well, those plans are underway. Just yesterday, we had a lengthy conversation about our strategic planning for our CBOX, what CBOX will have additional services, where we will add them, and what services will be added in our CBOX. So we're continuing planning that. We will certainly expand our what we call VTEL, which is our internet kind of a Skype connection that allows us to expand services. So you may be able to see your specialist in your hometown community-based clinic.
By an internet teleconference,
right,
so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's certainly helpful. And I'm a patient out at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center in the My Health.
My Healthy Vet.
E-Vet. What a fantastic way to stay in touch with your doctor.
Right. As part of that, folks can see their schedule. They can will soon be able to review their labs if they aren't already. They'll be able to look at their progress notes in the future. And they can also communicate via a secure email with their providers.
Now, have the doctors taken to that system? Are they getting used to it?
Well, I think that it'd be safe to say that if you look at how people adopt use of computers, there are some people who are really computer users, and there are others who are not, and our physicians are no exception. But we do certainly ask them to monitor their secure messaging and answer their patients' emails.
And of course, doctor, in our area, the computers we take to them because we have to, but they're not quite as easy as Dominique. She's grew up with it, and she probably can use them a little easier.
Right. I had a patient once who said this was all too technical, and I thought he was talking about the internet. He was talking about a telephone in rural Wisconsin. So,
doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the VA's community-based outpatient clinic on Minnesota Military Radio. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phalon Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting in the last segment, and this one with Dr. Clyde Marcon from the VA's community-based outpatient clinics and his administrative support, Dominique Berling. Doctor, before we went to break, we were talking about all of the services available in all the various community-based outpatient clinics. I want to ask you, I assume you know where all the veterans are in Minnesota that are eligible for VA healthcare services. Do you analyze those from time to time to see where your clinics are and where your veterans are and try to fine-tune that?
Well, certainly we do, and it's probably not from time to time. It's almost constantly. We review veterans' population. Where are the veterans? We look at their age groups, which are important in the demographics. And we use those data to help us decide what services we put where. And just recently we had brought on board with the CBOC team a systems analyst to help us better define the data that we have, because we think it's very, very important in deciding how we distribute care and where it goes.
So you use all of that data constantly to try to refine your long-term and short-term strategic plan.
Absolutely.
Doctor, what about the issue of our older veterans that are hours away from St. Cloud or Minneapolis and need heavy-duty services? Is there some way to take care of those folks closer to home?
We do have a system which is known as fee basis that allows us to have some of the work done locally. There's a bit of a complicated decision process that we use. But basically, if it's an older veteran who has difficulty with mobility, we would attempt to fee-base them locally at the VA's expense. If there are some overriding circumstances where it's difficult for them to make it to the VA, we would consider fee-bases.
So if we've got an older veteran that lives, say, up in Hibbing, up where Dominique hails from, and the ride to St. Cloud or Minneapolis is too grueling, how would they go about asking for permission to go to the private clinics and hospitals?
And I think the easiest method is to discuss with their provider a fee basis request. And that's the provider will then send that request to Minneapolis, and depending on what service is required, that will be reviewed for fee basis.
So they work that with the doctor or the clinic that they're assigned to right now, and
exactly.
just say,
yep.
this is getting to be a little too tough. Is there something we can do about it?
And the other important sources, again, are very valuable county veteran service officers who, you know, we do have some people who are rather proud and don't want to tell us all the circumstances.
A proud veteran and a proud veteran's family. Have we ever heard of that, doctor?
Yeah. And so the CVSOs can sometimes say, you know, there are some circumstances you need to know about, and we depend on that input as well.
So the Minneapolis VA healthcare system works very closely with the county veteran service officers.
I work with them every day, just about.
And they're great advocates for our veterans, aren't they?
They are wonderful advocates for the veterans, and that's their job, and they do it pretty well.
Doctor, I want to get back to your CBOCs, your community-based outpatient clinics. Do they provide any emergency services?
In essence, they do. What I've told our CBOCs is that we should never turn away a sick or injured veteran. And if they present themselves to the CBOC, if we can take care of it, we will. If not, we will arrange for emergency services in the community. So there are some emergency services we do take care of, and some obviously are beyond us or even some of the community hospitals, quite frankly. So we make arrangements for their care.
So we try to do everything possible.
We do. And, again, we don't like to turn away sick or injured vets.
Dominique, the doctor's a busy guy. He's seeing patients, and he's opening up new clinics, and he's running around. You must have your hands full trying to keep him on time and keep him going where he's supposed to go.
I keep busy, yes.
Are you enjoying your job?
I am very much.
Are all the doctors out there as nice as this one?
Pretty close, but I think Dr. Marcon's the nicest.
She gave us a funny look, Doc. Doctor, what do you see in the future for the VA healthcare system and your community-based clinics?
Well, I think that my job is to advocate for expanding services as much as we can. Again, we look at all the demographic data, but as much as I can add services in the community, we'll strive to do that.
So you're keeping your ear to the ground and trying to make sure we're delivering services where needed.
As much as possible, or more.
Doctor, it must help with this job, the fact that you are a veteran yourself, and you've been there, and you can understand what our men and women veterans need.
Well, sometimes we speak a little different language, and that's helpful.
Occasionally we do. Doctor, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I want to thank the veterans for their great support of our clinics, and you know, we also have a responsibility to help our other veterans, so we should get them into the clinics as well, as much as possible.
Doctor, I'd like to thank you for taking some of your valuable time and stopping by to see us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
And Dominique, thanks for coming in to visit.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Clyde Marcon and Dominique Burling from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubinski, who's out pretending he's a van driver today. He's on the road. Todd, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
How are you doing, Tom?
Well, we're recording this on Thursday, and I understand you're out driving a van.
Yeah, right now I am not physically driving, but I am filling in for my van driver today.
What happened?
Well, he decided to take a vacation day, and when he does that, I like to fill in, so I can experience a little bit about what he does on a daily basis. Helps me be a better boss.
So you're actually picking up the veterans you've been helping anyway and delivering them over to the VA Medical Center.
Yeah, we have a program that our county fully funds where we actually go pick up the veterans at their house, bring them down for their appointments, and then we take them right back to their house.
I'll bet you surprised them today when you picked them up.
Well, fortunately, the heavy rain didn't hit till after I picked up my last passenger, so we avoided the drenching.
You probably have to give them all some Valium with you driving in the rain.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think a few of them actually had to go down to therapy afterwards.
Well, get them home safe, Todd.
Always do.
Now, I understand you had an exciting week. You opened up your Shakopee clinic.
Yeah, we had our grand opening and ribbon-cutting ceremony on Monday for the new Shakopee VA clinic. Very well attended. We had somewhere, I think, over 400 people there for the festivities. Representative John Klein was there and said a few nice words. Mayor Tadke from Shakopee was there. And everybody got an open house tour of the facility and got to meet the doctors and even had some treats.
So are your veterans in the Scott County area pretty excited about that C-Box?
Oh, they're extremely excited. And it gave us a chance to really get to know the two docs, Dr. Melby and Dr. Adams. Dr. Adams is actually a local doctor who worked in the private clinic there in our area, and now he's working for the VA clinic. So a lot of our veterans actually knew him, and that works out really good.
So all of our veterans are excited about, I told you we can't use acronyms, but CBAC stands for Community-Based Outpatient Clinic. And you've got one right there next to you, so you can get your guys and gals in quick.
Yep, absolutely. And initially they'll be providing primary care, mental health care, some telemedicine work, which is consulting with specialists over camera and television. And in July we're getting a podiatrist, so things are ramping up.
Well, it sounds like that's an exciting addition to your practice down there, taking care of our veterans.
It is, and you know, we opened 60 days after the Albert Lee clinic opened up, and from what I understand, they're enjoying great success down there too. So we're lucky here in this area that our healthcare system isn't having the issues that they're having nationwide. So, and that's a good thing.
Well, Todd, thanks for joining us today, and make sure you get those veterans all home safely.
I promise I will get them all home safe and sound.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Tom.
That was Todd Kubinski, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer, out acting as a van driver today. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Vern Truax, Dr. Clyde Marcon, Todd Kubinski, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an update on the recent legislative session from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.